John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 of chapter 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank You, Lord. Oh, God, we thank You for Your Word that's alive. Oh, we thank You, oh, God, for this privilege we have of being able to come into Your house and worship You in spirit and in truth. Lord, thank You for Calvary. Thank You for Your Word that came, became flesh and paid the price and dwelt among us. And, oh, God, ask You for the direction, the anointing, the unction of the Holy Ghost here in this message tonight. Help me, oh God, to lift up what You would have lifted up. Speak to our hearts. We pray, God, that it's Your will and not ours be done. Touch the need in every heart. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like to cover several things with you on the Word and something that has recently happened to us. I covered some things and testified about some things that God done in Honduras. And I mentioned that we'll have been living there for 22 years this coming January, and we'd traveled through it prior to that, in and out over the previous 20 years. We'd made several trips in and out of there and the other places in Central America and Mexico and what have you. But something we almost, it appeared like just some months back that we were going to lose everything. That had been done, the openness to the gospel and what God had done looked like it was going to be in jeopardy to a great extent because we almost lost the freedom. When we went in to preach, the very first open-air campaign that I ever preached was in the capital city of Managua, Nicaragua in 1970. And at that time, and we spent some time working in Nicaragua, and at that time, it was amazing how open the country was. The president, I didn't know him, never saw him. He was a dictator. But anyhow, the Somoza family, he personally, out of his office, donated land to us. Didn't know us, never saw us. But just through a messenger out in the front office and taking him to him. And yes, they let him do it, and they can take my land, and it won't cost them anything as long as they want to and build their platform and everything else. And that's what we did. It was that open. And then there was the fall of the Daniel Ortega, the communist takeover in Nicaragua. And Nicaragua closed up, and the churches and all of the things that God had done through work through the years in Honduras, in Nicaragua, were suddenly the churches, instead of the gospel, instead of having freedom, was under persecution, and everything had to be hidden. And when we went into Honduras, that it was shades of the Freedom Days up to a point that we'd had in earlier years in Nicaragua, and so it was a blessing to be able to go, but it was still a Latin country that was very much under the rule of Catholicism, and there was no freedom of religion hardly at all, and what there was to escape persecution was you could not be in the military. If you happen to be a Christian, you could not let it be known. If you were in the police or something else, if you were a Christian, you had to hide the fact. Nobody carried Bibles around. You wouldn't have done that. They would have drummed you out of any kind of professional military or police work had you dared to have done something like that. But in the 20 years, amen, to show you that the Word of God has an effect. It is not who preaches it necessarily, but it's what is preached. It's His Word. And it's no kind of pictorial example that when the Scripture, the Holy Ghost is speaking in the book of John saying that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth, amen, and the Word, we preach the Word, we stand on the Word, we're saved because of the Word, we receive the Holy Ghost because of the Word, we're healed because of the Word, everything comes by the Word through the function of the Holy Ghost, the third person of the triune Godhead. Hallelujah. But still, those early days in the military was something. Just some months back, we woke up to the radio being played. Here we had gone and seen the things that God had done. We were on at that time. We were in all of the major military and police installations and everything. And we had the freedom to come and go, and it would seem an unbelievable change that had happened in the lives of not only in the civilian churches, but in the professionals, the military, and the police. And we found out all of a sudden that we were about to lose everything that had been accomplished. Hallelujah. We had a leftist president that was going to do what Chavez did. We had seen in the newspapers the headlines that showed Chavez. How many knows who Chavez is? Of Venezuela. He took over of Venezuela. Amen. The Castro brothers, Morales, Daniel Ortega, the communist leader in Nicaragua, and all of these with our leftist president walking down our capital city in Managua, in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, walking down proclaiming that they were going to have this organization called ALBAs. It was a carbon copy of what had happened in Venezuela with Chavez. Chavez is now the total dictator, as Brother Akers. They had to leave. They were literally, you might say, kicked out of the country. They would not renew their credentials. And they had to leave after all the work, all the burden that had done, everything that had gone on. And this same bunch had been in our papers and they've been proclaiming that they were wanting to set up this leftist president just the same as they had Chavez in Venezuela, which would have meant the very first thing that would have happened would that we would have gone. They could not have the gospel in the military and police from one part of the country to the other in all the military bases and everything else. They just could not have that and have the communist rule. And this started something that they tried to take over. We had a constitution, have a constitution. I hope you'll let me get just a little bit detail-y on you. Amen. But a constitution that said that a president or anybody else at a high elected office could only be for 4 years, and then they could not run again. That was to keep another dictator from coming in like it had been in years past when everything was run by dictators. And so they were trying to do, and this is what Chavez did. He got that thrown out, and he got his bunch in, and he's elected in for life. Guess what? What a surprise. And they're working the same. They were working the same thing to cause it to happen in Honduras. And then it started that this president called the general of generals of the military in. If you're going to have a dictatorship, if you're going to proclaim that you are the mayor of London, you better have the power and the muscle to make it stick. You better have the backing to make it. Amen. And you can't just go into a country and say, I declare I am the president from now on. Well, who says I do? That doesn't work. You got to have the muscle. And in these countries, the only muscle there is in the military. And then next after that, the police. And so he called the general in. And he asked him, a lot of what I'm telling you will be a first and secondhand accounts from the top, not rumor on the street. Call the general in to his presence in the National Palace. And he asked him, said, General, will you back me in this? And the general stood there. What he was saying to him, the chief general, the Colin Powell of Honduras, what he was saying to him, will you share power with me and we'll take the country, was literally what he was meaning. Amen. He said, will you back me in this? And that general looked back at him and he said, no, sir, Mr. President, we will not back that because it is against the Constitution and we are standing for freedom and the Constitution. He immediately, right there, fired the general. And then, I'm just giving you a little groundwork. And then he fired the general right there. And all the other generals over the heads of the different parts of the military, Air Force, Navy, and the lower generals and sub-generals, lieutenant generals, they all quit. And the National Supreme Court and the Congress, National Congress, got together, and according to the Constitution, they said, you can't quit. We reject your quitting in protest. Instead, go arrest the president. Amen. According to the Constitution, a good Constitution, just as good as ours in a lot of ways. And they were paying attention to it. Amen. And so they went and knocked on the president's door in the middle of the night. And they said, Mr. President, this is a personal friend that was on the airplane with the crew over it, sitting at our kitchen table relating, or at Brother Allen's house, or Scott's. I don't remember who it was, Scott's. And related, we're all neighbors. Amen. Relating first-hand account because he was the one in charge of the flight. But they gave the president a choice according to the directions and the Constitution that they would fly, he could go to jail, which was according to the Constitution, or they would give him an out and they would fly him to the country of his choice. And he chose to go to another country Costa Rica, El Salvador. To go out of the country. And so in the middle of the night, they loaded him up, took him out, put him on the airplane, delivered him down to this other country. And he was in exile, but Honduras was still free. And that began some of the most tormented upheaval that you could ever imagine. The people, about 20% of the country was wanting that. They wanted that to get in on the winning side. That's what most of these revolutions are. It's not ideology or anything like that. It's they want to be in on the power. They want to be in on those that get the spoils. And about between 10 and 20% of them that they wanted to back this leftist president. And so they started doing all things that always the ungodly side is going to do. They start burning and destroying and killing. Amen. Shot one of their own in the back just to start a riot. And just started all burn my favorite restaurant. And that really got serious then. Amen. And hours after this happened, out of my country, I am a resident of Honduras as of almost 22 years. But I am a United States citizen from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. My six granddaughters, they were raised totally in Honduras. The four youngest were born in our hometown in Honduras, in a little place anyhow for medical help. Amen. We're born there. The other two, the oldest two, were born in the States just because that mom and daddy was up here for a little trip around preaching in churches. Hallelujah. And they're dual citizens. But do you know you cut them and you know what they bleed? Red, white, and blue. Amen. Hallelujah. They love Honduras from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. But they are still Americans. Amen. And they've been taught, amen, to when they see Old Glory going down the street, to still have the little men running up and down their spine, and to know that while there has been interlopers that have come in and tried to destroy and take away everything of the foundation that has been there, that God has used to take the gospel out to a lost and dying world, more than all the rest of the world put together. Amen. While they still take it, it is still, amen, with all the problems. And mister, we've got problems. Ungodly problems. The favor of God is withdrawing to some extent. Not from the church. But we still happen to be the greatest nation on the face of this earth. Amen. And so we went into all of this, where they were curfews. Nobody could get out. There was conflicts going on. They'd call curfews in the middle of the day. You might be in town doing some shopping at the markets, and everybody has to get off the streets and get home, and you couldn't come out again. And we travel. We hold up that we go in two different directions at a time, most of the time. But we have held, very common to hold as many as 10 services between the two, 10 services in one day, and travel several hundred miles in doing that. Amen. And so our congregation is scattered all over. Our schedule takes us all over the country. Amen. And we do very little flying because we can't get the weather to take our, and we have no help with the weather. We have no runways to go down to, nothing but mountains and jungle. And so you just go. Amen. But anyhow, it's scattered all over. And there's our congregation out. And they want to know, where are you? You'd go to a base and everybody's out. They're quelling riots. They're at the border. They're at the National Palace. They're under the Congress. They're in the capital city. They're manning blockade. And said, where are you? Just like you're supposed to be there, and then all of a sudden everybody magically comes back to the base. We told them, said, well, first of all, said there's curfews out. They said, that doesn't apply to you all. Now, that you all is Oklahoma talk. They didn't say you all. Amen. But they said, that doesn't apply to you guys. Amen. You can come. You can go where you want. We said, okay. But the thing is, our congregation's all gone. You go out there, and there's just enough people on the base. Amen. To take care of that thing, to do the guarding and to keep the things running and all of that. Everybody else was in blockades and quelling marches and all of this stuff. And so they said, well, we said we can't go in there. Everybody's gone. And they said, well, could you come where we are? We said, you got it. Amen. We started holding services where they were. We were under the National Congress building. We were under the Supreme Court in downtown Capital City. Amen. Big open garage area that was bigger than this auditorium in here. Not as deep, but longer. Amen. And out there with guards, chain link fences, all the people on the outside up there. And you know what's happening down there? While they're all up there, amen, doing their business in the National Congress, amen, in the Supreme Court, we're down there with a couple of hundred or more soldiers, amen, officers all the way down to the private that just come barefooted out of the mountains. Amen. Laying that ride gear down. Laying that M16 down beside him. Laying that helmet down beside him. Amen. And we're having church. Hallelujah. With the sound cranked up to where anybody that gets within a block or two ought to be able to hear. And we're having old Pentecostal church. Hallelujah. Glory to God preaching this gospel out behind the National Palace. Amen. Helicopters flying over while they're up there with our Madam Secretary and all the others up there arguing all this stuff out. Amen. You know who's out behind the National Palace down where they'd set up a temporary military base? Hallelujah. Oh, we were having church. Loudspeakers set up. The guitars going. Amen. Here was all the soldiers around and the police. Amen. Out there in the tent city. Right there within as far as from here to the first cars in the parking lot. Amen. Behind the National Palace. And while they're in there arguing that out, we're out there fighting the devil and preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's just a time after they came in, they got the president, they booted him out of the country. A personal friend of ours was in charge of the flight. They flew him out of the country. Amen. And that's what started all the rioting. And then that small bunch was wanting to come in, take it, and be part of it. And so they were going to bring the ex-president back in and put him back in power. And they had big help, too. But she was all the way in Washington. Amen. And so they were trying to get him back in. And it caused all kinds of things. They were going to march across the border. So here we have people. Hey, man, that ex-president's down there. He's out in no man's land between Nicaragua and between Honduras. Hey, man, there's about 100, maybe less than 100 yards. You don't just step over a fence or go through a gate and go out of one country in another in all of these banana republics. There'll be a no man's land that'll maybe be 150, 200 feet deep in there. You go out of one end, you're in no man's land, then you got to get into the other one. And so here's all this big crowd, and the ex-president's out there, and he's going to raise up an army. And they're going to march all the way back to the capital city through the mountains, and they're going to take it back for the freedom of the good old hammer and sickle. But the only problem is here's all the military. Got a base set up there. And they want to know, why aren't you coming out here and preaching to us? So we're there, amen, preaching to them on the border. Glory to God. That president, that ex-president started to come in, and he was met by the colonel that was in charge of the military establishment there at the border. And so he met him in no man's land. And that ex-president said, Colonel, he said, I'd like to come in. And the colonel, now I'm telling you, because the colonel, when he's telling this person the exactly what happened, is in our service on our side of the fence right there out in broad daylight when we're having church. And so the ex-president said, I would like to come back into the country. The colonel said, yes, sir, you can come back into the country, but I must inform you that we have orders to take you to jail. The ex-president said, oh, it's like that, is it? He said, yes, sir. He turned around, walked back into Nicaragua. Amen. But he didn't give up there. time and time. They finally, all of this, we were going here, going there, where they were. What the devil meant for confusion and to shut the gospel down, God was using it to magnify his word. Hallelujah. To magnify the preaching of the gospel. Amen. To reach souls that we couldn't even have reached had we not been out there in the open. He got back in that prison. They smuggled him in the trunk of a car. And he got down, and when they discovered that he was there, him and 200 of his followers run to the Brazilian embassy. And when they ran to the Brazilian embassy in our capital city, then the Brazilians all ran out, left him. And so there they are, holed up inside the embassy. But you see, that is Brazilian territory. Honduras can't invade it. That's like invading another country, their country. But they've got them in there. They can't get out. They won't come out. They're locked in. They can surrender and go to jail. But that's it. And so here they are, right out there around the embassy. And you know what they, you know what all of the Honduran military and police forces wanted? Can we have church? Oh, yes. Crank that amplifier up. Turn those things as loud as they'll go. That bunch inside, I don't know what they were doing. They might have had their head stuck under pillows. I don't know. Amen. But I know what was going on. Amen. It was being bombarded with the gospel. Hallelujah. Having church right out there when all of those soldiers, hallelujah, and those policemen laid their arms down and was having church right out in the daytime. Hallelujah, around about the Brazilian embassy, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Now, I want to get in to what I was headed for. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Hallelujah. This gospel, it's the word of God. We get this word of God out. This word of God is going to change things. Amen. It is not as important as long as it is somebody that is saved. Amen. Name written down in the Lamb's book of life. Walking right, talking right, looking right, being right, preaching the gospel, this word of God, whether it's talked over the backyard fence or in the laundromat. Amen. It's going to have an effect. The gospel has an effect. Amen. The word of God. Amen. In Psalms 107, verse 20, he said, he sent his word and he healed and delivered them from their destructions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The word of God has an effect. Amen. Had that general said anything other, if he would have said, yes, sir, we'll join you, I'd like to be co-dictator of Honduras. Didn't do it. You know why? Because 20 years before, no credit to any person in this world, believe me, before God, except God. But one base at a time, the gospel began to penetrate. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to jump over 20 years. Now I want to tell you what the military and police is like. Somebody says, why? Why do you go and preach to the military and to the police? That's not our standard formula for missions. We do the other stuff too. But 90% of it is covering the whole country for the military and the police. Amen. And said, why do you do that? Number one, God opened the door. No doubt of it. Absolutely no doubt. Oh, I'd rather get out on a limb with God. Hey, man, they can saw the limb off and the whole force will fall. Amen. But that limb will stand. As long as you're on that limb with God. Hallelujah. God said to do it. We made a lot of mistakes. Somebody else might have done it a whole lot better. Amen. But God didn't tap on somebody else's shoulder. Amen. Maybe it's just because we were there and there wasn't anybody else to do it. But he did it. And I don't regret it. Hallelujah. And I don't make any apologies. Amen. Or excuses for it. God did it. Hallelujah. And where the gospel is preached, it will make a difference. Hallelujah. Today, 20, all of those years that it gradually changed. Do you know that the year before last, the military reported to us that for the first time, I had never heard of this in another foreign Latin country, but for the first time ever, the majority of the people in the military and police claim as a religion, not saying they're all saved, I'm not saying that, but they claim as their religion, evangelical. They always before, I'm Catholic. They may not have ever been to a mass or a mess or a church or a confession or anything else, but they say that was a politically correct thing to say, I'm evangelical. They may not have ever been to anything in their entire life. That's what everybody said. They could not, if they happened to be saved and going to the military or police, carry a Bible. That would be crazy. They would have been drummed out. They would have been ridiculed, persecuted. To admit that they were a Christian, if they happened to be a Christian when they went in, unheard of. Just didn't happen. It couldn't happen. Amen. But do you know what happened? Now I'm just going to jump up to now and just kind of let you fill in the blanks in between. But do you know that we've got some bases that when they're out in formation, you have the Word of God? Amen. Some have prayer. Do you know? Amen. They carry their Bibles. Sometimes a lot of them will. Oh, we've had so many Bibles. They carry Bibles. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That right out in the open, you may have the commander of the base or the installation, whether it's police or military. Maybe the commander's there. Maybe sometimes it's the office help, the civilian office help that's there. Amen. The troops, the officers, and what have you. And they're out, you know what they're doing? They're out there clapping their hands. Amen. And listening to the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Oh, I tell you what. But this is just something that has happened. Amen. Day in and day out. Listen, people, a lot of times in all of our lives, there's things that we look at and we love to live on the mountaintops. Amen. We don't like the valleys. We like the glory point, the things we want to testify about and tell everybody about. Amen. But do you know something? I'll tell you, it's the long haul that counts. And in any long haul, there's going to be some valleys and there's going to be some mountains. There's going to be some discouragement. There's going to be some things that you don't jump up and testify about. But they're going to come along. It's a long haul. It's that one. Just like old blind Bartimaeus. Hey, man, when he heard that voice that commanded him to come unto me, never laid eyes on any man or woman or anything else in his life. He had born blind. But when Jesus came into that city of Jericho, oh, hallelujah, and they said, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. And old blind Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Yelled it twice when they tried to shut him up and hush him. Oh, no. Hey, man, when you got the do dog or die in your heart, hey, man, and you're not going to give up, you saw, got a glimpse of glory, whether you ever saw anything in your life, and you want it. You want him, hallelujah. And Bartimaeus wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to stop. And he cried out again, oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead, the one that stood on the balconies of eternity and cast this universe, this world into existence, said, command him to come to me. Old Bartimaeus, shed that cloak, everything you had. Old things pass away, and behold, everything becomes new. And he started walking toward a voice he had never seen, and a face he had never heard, and a voice he had just heard. But somewhere he had heard, and one step at a time, he was making his way towards the sound of that voice. Left that cloak, his shelter, his bed, his house, as dirty, as stinking, as ragged as it was, it's all he had. That was everything. And he left it there. Why? Because when blind Bartimaeus rose up to his feet, I believe at that point he got saved. And I'll tell you why. Because he left it all. He knew that's faith. He had never read any word. He was blind. He had never been to a church or a synagogue, probably. Almost certainly hadn't. But he believed. What little bit he had heard, we're overwhelmed with the gospel. And many times we live in doubt and question instead of simple faith. That's why you see so many things happen sometimes in the third world country we don't see here. Just simple faith. Jesus said, what would you have me to do? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus healed him. Somebody asked me just the other day, do I look like I'm dying? Somebody asked me the other day, Brother Sumner, are you going to retire? Yeah, I'm going to retire. But I'm not waiting for a whistle. I'm not waiting for a time clock. I'm waiting for a trumpet. And as soon as I hear a trumpet, I'm retiring out of here. Hey, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I believe from the top of my head. Now, I'm starting to wonder. Give me a few minutes, will you? I hope I'm not running. I don't even know what that said. I don't even know when I started, so I'm going to go for a few more minutes. Hey, man, I don't even know. Hallelujah. But I believe from the top of my head, the soles of my feet. I know he's coming back. I believe it could be any time. But if he doesn't come real soon, I could go tonight. Heart beats 100,000 times approximately a day. And they're never more than one heartbeat away from eternity. We sing that song, I'll see you in the rapture. I love it. I love that little song. I never hear it anymore. I love it. But it's not real biblical. I still love it. Because I don't think we're going to see anybody in the rapture. You believe in the rapture, Brother Summer? Sure do. Believe we're going to be caught out of here? Sure do. Is that what you're working toward? Yes, sir. Sure am. Amen. But my Bible tells me it's going to be in a moment and twinkling of an eye. And in the field of electronics, it is extremely easy if you have the right equipment. You can measure a millionth of a second. That's not hard. You can go a lot shorter than that. An atom travels, 186,000 miles per second. You can measure that. Speed of light. Well, speed of light's just slightly faster. Amen. They can measure that. Hallelujah. The eye blinks 20 times a second. It only takes 1/20th of a second for your eye to twinkle, to blink. That's all, 1/20th of a second. That means if you could recover fast enough, you could blink your eye 20 times in the time it takes to say 1001. 20 times. That's not a theory. You can prove this. Get you an Oklahoma calculator. Hey, man, it's got a pencil on, got a lead on one end, an eraser on the other, and get a big sheet of paper and start figuring it out. Hey, man, 20 times. Hallelujah. And you know what it's going to be like? You take a step. And before your foot gets down and hits the ground, no sensation, I believe, of going up in the air. No, I'll see you. Hello, you're making it too. No. Your eye's going to twinkle. And there he is. The first Mashatarabahai. The first thing that blind Bartimaeus ever saw was the face of Jesus. I heard him say, I'm going to hug his neck. I'm going to shake his hand. Stroll over heaven. Did you ever hear that song? I'm going to stroll. It's a pretty song. I love it. I'm going to stroll over heaven. Some sweet day, I think. But you know what I think we'll be doing the first long time's not going to mean anything. Let me have a few million years before I greet you. Amen. Because I just have an idea that we're going to be laying out just like those angels that are, since all eons of eternities have been over the throne, as Isaiah chapter 6 in the king that King Uzziah died. When Isaiah saw him in the throne and his train filled the temple, and over him were those seraphims crying, holy, holy, holy. That's what we'll be crying when we get home. Holy. 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 We made it. You're there. We can go in public schools by invitation. Grade school, third grade, fourth grade, second grade. We can preach Jesus in the grade school by invitation. We can't just barge in, here we are to preach. Used to be that way in this good old United States of America. It's not over yet. But I'm just trying to say what the gospel will do and has done, I believe. And that is what I credit everything, not to a certain person preaching the gospel, but the fact that the gospel was in that caused that general to come out of all of his career that had been that kind of a thing that was so anti-God and ungodly to the point where he'll stand for the gospel. One of the generals calls me Mr. Jake. Amen. But we've had in the ceremonies when we pray for a change of command, and I had the American ambassador one time beside me, and because I think it was Brother Scott. You get about 2 minutes to say something at a special ceremony that the president and dignitaries are there. You got maybe a minute, 2 minutes at the most to say something real quick, just an introduction to your prayer. And then you got a chance to pray for a minute or two. Amen. And that's another chance to preach. And Scott did. He just preached. He preached in his comments before he prayed, and he preached and we prayed. Amen. And afterwards, that American ambassador said, probably, maybe, I don't know what his background was. Had no idea. But he said, oh, I like that. I like that. The gospel changes things. And the reason Honduras is still open to the gospel is simply the gospel has been preached. And it works everywhere. Will you stand with me, please? The gospel of Jesus Christ. I know I'm on overtime. I may not. The Lord's going to come or I'm going to go. Listen, I know I'm almost 39 plus a few years. And I know I may not even get back this way again, but I'll see you. Not in the rapture. Hallelujah. The gospel. The gospel. Love his word. Read His Word. Speak His Word. I'm not saying that ink and that paper has power. You know what I'm saying. What it says is the power. It's God speaking to us. Hallelujah. I want to take a little bit of a change. I'm going to be closing. How many believes that this word is God's word? Now I'm holding. It's not black backed, but this is King James. Huh? Can I get in a little commercial spot? I'm not talking about Dell comic book. I'm just funning with you. No, I'm not. Amen. But what is said here, I would like for us to take something together right now, knowing that this word says, the prayer of faith shall raise the sick. Healing is the children's bread. Mark chapter 16, verses 17, 18. Said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Can't always lay hands on your sick, but we can pray the same prayer. Let's pray for Brother Huff and Sister Huff right now in this atmosphere of touching God. Great man. A great lady. And if he goes before the rapture, it'll be the church's loss here on this earth. Heaven's gain. Our loss. Let's touch God for him. Let's touch God for him. Let's slip our hands up to the one that paid the price for his healing. Let's touch him now in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you tonight, not as beggars, not as thieves, as children of the King, not demanding, not belligerent. Not proud, not boastful, just with your word, oh God. And we ask you, Lord, to invade the very room where Brother and Sister Huff are at this moment. And we ask you, Lord, for the divine healing virtue of Calvary. For by your stripes we are healed. We pray, Lord, that you'll reach your hand of the Holy Ghost inside of the breast of brother. Oh, and you touch the lungs of brother Huff. And you'll renew the nerves and the fibers and the cells and the sinews. Supernatural Holy Ghost strength. God, bind the onslaught of time and the decay of the temple that you built. God, healing, we ask you. The top of his head to the soles of his feet. We ask you, oh God, to strengthen and lift up Sister Huff. Encourage them both. Give them a new vibrancy. Oh God. We come before you and we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for having us. You say, Brother Sumner, you don't believe in altar calls. Oh, here, we just had one. And I believe God moved in it. Now, thank you for having it. Every time I leave, especially now, I don't expect to come back. I'm not, I don't, there's no sad story. I think it's that close. I'm talking about coming back to here or Oklahoma or wherever. Amen. Pray for us. You don't even have to remember our name. Just remember that gray-headed preacher that spits a lot. Amen. We love you and we thank you for everything. God bless you, Brother Jarvis.